Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today we want to talk about the Moody Church Media Newsletter. And this is from the summer of 2025. And this is a plea to the church, a challenge for every Christian. And this one is a letter that gets a little bit political. Oh my God, he's talking politics. What I want to mention here, stick around because I'm going to be an equal opportunity offender. You see, I am not a Republican, nor am I a Democrat. I look at the platforms for both parties, and while the Republican Party is more aligned with what the Bible would teach, it is not aligned entirely, and the practice of the party clearly diverges further than their statements. Now, the Democratic Party platforms, and I gave them a chance, I looked at every one of their platforms. Every one of their platforms does things fundamentally against Christianity. Democratic platform is pro-abortion. Christianity is pro-life. The Democratic platform is completely open borders. The Bible does not teach open borders. It teaches allegiance to your nation while also being a child of the kingdom of God. But it does not dissolve national boundaries. The Bible paints pictures in numerous, let's look at the LGBTQ movement. The Democratic Party is fully embracing it, and like it or not, the Bible teaches that it is a sin to engage and endorse such practices. Now, obviously, if a person recognizes the sin that they are living in and just deals with the temptations and the struggles, that in and of itself is actually a sign of a believer. It is true, you know. Now, he wrote the book, We Will Not Be Silenced About It. What I found far more compelling than the letter was the Q&As. So I want to read some of those and provide my own insight into these. And the reason is that he does a lot of really good analysis in these. And mostly this is because we have a new presidential administration. And I know that most Christians generally, at least the biblically based sound ones, generally vote Republican rather than Democrat. And so we have a breath of fresh air with a person in the White House, a majority in the Senate, and a majority in the House as all being right-leaning. And the reality is that will bring us some better alignment with the scriptures. We're seeing some of that. We're seeing some commutations and some pardons of the people who were simply arrested for praying in front of abortion clinics. You know, not the people who are actually causing problems, but just silently praying before them. There have been people that were jailed for that under the previous administration. We are seeing a return to sanity. We're seeing a return to science. We're seeing a return to logical things that make sense. And those are all things that the Bible would speak heavily for. That being said, however, the challenge is when we have that type of political situation, the Christians can be like, we can calm down now. And that is the sin, because the Republicans aren't going to save us either. In fact, the more I study the end times and knowing technology as I do, I believe that the Republicans are going to create the technology that ultimately becomes the mark of the beast, but they will have the moral integrity to not use it on people. It'll be either theoretical or something for criminals, and then the opposite party is going to get into effect, and they're just going to deploy it. I think that that's what's going to happen. Mark of the beast, in my opinion, is going to be technological based, and it's going to be hoisted on people, not created by the radical left, but utilized as a weapon by the radical left, because we see that type of stuff all the time. So as he gets into the Q&A, it deals with looking at the results of a right-leaning shift in the political structure and how this actually causes more problems for the church. Because remember this, the church is purified by tribulation. That is what causes real people of God to stand up and go, I'm going to give it all, but I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. That's really the type of thing we see. So the first question here is, as you look at the culture today, how would you evaluate it? He looks against the, and his answer, the signs of the change abound. The pushback against the radical left movement has produced a sense of optimism for many parents and business leaders. The many issues that the new administration inherited in terms in areas such as illegal immigration are finally being addressed, and that's the positive. On the negative, there's a kind of new relaxation on part of many Christians. Some think that despite the lack of interest in spiritual renewal, the change of administration in Washington means that all is well. But politics and political policies cannot save us. And while politics is important, it's not all important. In other words, political changes can do only what the power of God can. Political changes cannot do what only the power of God can. And this really is something that we see looking at what's going on is we tend to think, and many people tend to think, that we just got to fix the politics and the nation will be fine. No, we are not going to be saved by politics. Politics is not going to save us. Obviously, we need to vote for the things that are bring us in better alignment culturally with what God demands in Scripture. That being said, however, we don't want to get to the position where we think that politics, one way or the other, is actually going to save us, because it will not. Brings us to the next question. How do you see the church, how do you see the intersection of the church and politics? He says there are two mistakes we often make. One is to overestimate the good that a political party can do. The other mistake is to underestimate the damage a destructive political agenda can do. And he says, I've witnessed both in my life. He talks about his trip to Albania, which was under total communist control in the 1960s until a giant revolution erupted in 1990, 1991. Churches reopened. Since then, the gospel has gone forth freely and continues to spread. But huge issues of corruption, alcoholism, economic disruption, and Islamic advances remain. So we're thankful for the new era of freedom, but political changes cannot be a substitute for a strong and a vibrant church. And that is true. Sadly, though, we do not have a lot of strong and vibrant churches today. My point is this: bad politics can shut down the church, but good politics cannot save us. Let me repeat this. Politics at its best cannot address the deep spiritual concerns of the human heart. And that is true. We should not be leading with politics. We should not be trying to get people to vote red. We should be talking about the power of Jesus Christ. That is what we need to be focusing our time on. So get to the next one. So do you think that sometimes Christians get the two realms confused? And he says, yes, the confusion happens in two ways. First, there are those who want to use a biblical admonitions regarding personal morality, such as compassion and reconciliation, and wrongly apply these values to the government. But the symbol of the state is the sword. The symbol of the church is the cross. The primary responsibility of the state is to govern and protect. The primary responsibility of the church is to share the good news of the gospel with compassion and humility. Second, the state often interferes with the church by invading its space. It can, and historically often has, imposed its unbiblical mandates on the churches. We've seen it in other countries where the church has been outlawed. We could also list the biblical issues we face today are deemed to be political. The church must support the state when it can, but it must also stand against the state when it's forcing Christians to go against God's law. So regarding the first of these, I probably should have stopped halfway through. But we forget that the purpose of the state is not to address the moral conditions. The purpose of the state is to keep the general safety and carry on with the protecting the freedoms of the people. The govern and protect is what he says. But the church is to share the good news of the gospel. And that's really where we get mixed up. Oftentimes in the church, sometimes we are too focused in the church on the things like getting political agendas done. And we ought not do that. We ought to focus instead, first and foremost, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once people are saved, then as they become more sanctified in Christ, they will ultimately go in the more correct direction politically, is what we see. The second is when the state interferes. We saw this, of course, in COVID, particularly with John MacArthur's church, and they were basically fining them $400 every single week that they had church services because they're like, you can't connect. They ultimately did not end up paying any of those because the fines were overturned in the courts. So what we saw with Grace Community was a beautiful example. What you saw was a situation where the church stood up against the state utilizing the rights given to it by the state, but it did so only to advance the gospel. That is the perfect model of what we should see. I hesitate to use the word perfect, but it is certainly a good model. The next one, frequently we hear that God has raised up Donald Trump for such times as this, and we are reminded of how he survived two assassination attempts. What is your take on this? Yes, of course, but we must remember that all leaders have been raised up by God. Jesus said to Pilate, "You would have no authority over me unless it has been given to you from above." In the book of Daniel, we read repeatedly that God installs leaders and brings them down. So whether we agree or disagree with our leaders, they are raised by God. Even the hidden crazy cabal of the Biden administration was raised up by God for, I think, reasons that are made a little bit more clear now, that it showed us how bad we had actually fallen, and it caused some political unrest that moved us into a more free place where we could share the gospel more freely if only we listen to the plea to the church and actually do it. And I think that that's ultimately the principle here. So there's one more there, but I think that's just a summary. So ultimately, our point here is that don't get your politics confused with the church. While I am right-leaning, I am not a Republican. I completely disagree with the Republican Party on a number of issues. And we also see a slow creep into immorality. Primarily, they just don't seem to care about the people. They seem to care about the power just as much as anybody else does. Politics is not going to save us. We have to first and foremost recognize nothing's going to save the planet. God is going to destroy it. Okay, it's going to happen. The end times is going to come. God will wipe out this planet. It says in 2 Peter, "I have reserved this present earth for fire." Okay, so that means he's going to blow it up. It's going to be done. All right, what does that mean? We can debate about that. Ultimately, though, our purpose is to preach the gospel, to love all people that we can, whether we agree with our politics or not, and in so share the gospel and bring more people into the kingdom of Christ. And once a person truly is into the kingdom of Christ, they will transform their lives to be more like Christ. So that's what I want to leave you with today. Thanks for watching. Let me know your thoughts in the comments down below. Subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.